Blog
It's the Rad Reality Show. It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight on the Rad Reality Show for a special Thanksgiving edition of our Survivor Recap Show. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'm going to be your host tonight, along with Paul from Minnesota. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. I got over my tryptophan sleepiness.
Well, that's good. I'm not quite there yet. I've got just a little bit of my Thanksgiving dinner eaten so far. We eat late here.
I guess so, because it's been a long time since I ate. I went, I mentioned this on the show and told you about it, that the previous show, that I went over to my parents', you know, senior home where they live, and they had reservations for their cafeteria, their dining room, excuse me, for the turkey dinner, for Thanksgiving dinner, and it was about 1 o'clock this afternoon my time, so
Because Rich is a night shift person, we do everything on that schedule, so it's hard to switch that up on the weekends, and so we just maintain that schedule, and we don't put the bird in until we get up and have our coffee, which is afternoon, and when we feel like it. And we just do things on our own time schedule. And we're generally eating around 8 o'clock, and we're just kind of late. We're late people. So
I did work shift work for many years, but mine wasn't a constant shift. We were open 24 hours, but we rotated, you know, could switch with people. But I so know how your body feels, you know, on your off days if you're used to that one shift. And when I tried to fight that and say, okay, I'm going, you know, or I had to go somewhere like family or whatever, you know, and I had to get up early. It was like, I am so out of it. This is not natural for me. My body says I should be sleeping. So that's, now I'm thinking that's maybe one of the reasons that you started your tradition of staying at home, just the two of you, because that way you can go on your own body clock time, right?
Exactly. It works so much better for us.
Now it makes all the sense in the world. So
yes. Rich did work for 20 years at a different company, and at that company, it was so hard because for many years he had the swing shift, and he would work 1 month of days and 1 month of nights. And talk about difficult, that was pure hell.
Yeah.
That, you,
I mean,
just start getting used to a shift,
yeah,
and then you'd have to switch.
Now, see, I would do maybe like a week at the most or a few days. I hated working the midnight shifts, and you try to get out of those. But, I so know what you're talking about. It's so hard to keep switching gears. Your body just goes and fights you.
Yeah, they did three shifts there, so you never knew what shift, you know, but you would do 1 month, and then it would switch to a different shift, and then you would do a month of that shift, and then you'd switch to another shift. And so it always was, you know, ever-changing. And that was absolutely terrible. So I would much prefer what he's doing right now, staying on, you know, seconds and maintaining that than having to do that rotation. That was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
And we did that for many years. But,
well, I went back and looked for last year's show that Ron did for Thanksgiving. He didn't do one on Thursday, but he did a Tuesday Thanksgiving show, and you were actually part of it, as I think we talked on the phone or whatever, and you recalled that you were there. And one thing that you mentioned when Ron was asking all sorts of, okay, you know, thankfulness, what are you thankful for, traditions, you know, and all this type of thing, you went and talked about your tradition of, and you mentioned it this year too, that you, just the two of you stayed home, but you cooked like you were cooking for, you know, 20 people, for an army, as you stated. And it was so funny to go back and listen, because you had just been talking about that's what you do. So what was your cooking day like? Now, if you, do you have to, see, I've never cooked. I watch my mom and everything, and it was like the whole day, or even the day before. You know,
I started yesterday.
So what is your cooking routine like when you're cooking for an army? When did you start?
I started yesterday. I cooked my mashed potatoes yesterday. I cooked the celery and onions and the cornbread for my dressing yesterday, because I make my dressing, you know, out of my own cornbread and everything. I don't buy the store-bought stuff. And so I had that all ready to make today. And then today we cooked a 21-pound turkey.
Now
the dressing probably weighed about that much, if not more.
Now, let me ask a question for my uneducatedness about cooking. That sounds big to me. Is that a big turkey?
That's a big turkey.
Okay.
Big turkey. And
do they say when you buy a turkey that size, how many would that feed if you were to have a group of people, a 21-pound turkey?
I have no idea. Quite a few.
How long are the leftovers lasting? I mean, you probably make all sorts of concoctions over the next several weeks. I mean, is this something you freeze, or you just eat variations of turkey?
We have leftovers. We love turkey sandwiches after Thanksgiving, and then, you know, in your traditional, just regular Thanksgiving plates with the dressing and green bean casserole and all that. But then I do love the just turkey sandwich and all that. Freeze some for later, pull it out and have it all over again, you know, a month from now. And that's why I do it, so that, you know, we can have that Thanksgiving meal again later, you know. It's something that we both love. We both love the Thanksgiving meal, and that's why I cook so much at Thanksgiving, because it's one of our favorite meals. And we love the leftovers. We love turkey sandwiches and all that, so we just cook a lot for this one day. And
I'm sorry.
Joe, if you look on my Facebook page, there is a link for the Pepto-Bismol website, or Facebook page, I'm sorry, not website. And if you click on that, each time you click on that, it feeds 8 people today. So all it takes is one click to feed 8 people a Thanksgiving meal. So it's very easy to help feed the homeless and the poor today. Just click the Pepto-Bismol like page on Facebook. One time you feed 8 people. So everybody do that, and you'll be helping to feed those who aren't able to put a traditional turkey or Thanksgiving meal on their table today. I did put that on my Facebook page.
So I was working all day, well, several days on clipping and listening to last year's show. And it really was a good show and brought back a lot of memories. And then I thought I would, you know, finish it off and get it uploaded and talk with you today, but I ended up staying over at my parents' several hours longer than I anticipated. So I ran out of time when I got home. And so you have not had the opportunity, as I normally do, to let you hear what I played. But I do have Ron opening last year's Thanksgiving show. And he also brings talks with you and me, and Liz and Jess came up. But it's just nice to hear last year's opening and his beginning chat with us about Thanksgiving. And I thought maybe we could play that. It's a little over 4 minutes long. If now is a good time, I'm deferring to your choice or decision.
Let's go ahead and do that, and then we'll go into Survivor and get Survivor out of the way, and then we can go back into what we're all thankful for and talk more about Thanksgiving. But let's do the Ron opener, because I'd like to hear that.
Okay, and we did last year have a few things that we talked about being thankful for, and you already remembered when I brought that up to you the other day what you had said last year. So here is that opening clip.
Welcome, everyone, to the Thanksgiving version of the Rad Reality Show. And thank you for showing up on a Thanksgiving show. But anyways, let me first say, Paul, do you have something to be thankful for today? And does it have four wheels?
It certainly does. What a treat for me. You just got to understand, people. I don't get cars that often. And the last car I bought was 10 years ago, and I picked up the car that I researched and found today. And let me tell you, I've got a 400-page manual that I can't wait to get into.
Oh, my gosh. I can see Paul already.
Believe that?
Paul's gonna be the one that reads the manual page to front page or back page, and be like, figure out, okay, this is what I can do with this card. hey, look, I know Cherry's on the phone line, so let me pick up Cherry. And actually, tonight's a party line, so if you want to call in and you want to be part of the show tonight, feel free to call in. And I'm going to have some topics that we're going to talk about. Cherry, I asked Cherry to call in too. And Cherry, do you have something to be thankful for tonight?
Hi. First of all, let me say hi to Paul and congrats on your new Lexus. That's a sweet car. And yes, Ron, I do have something very, very important that I have to be thankful for. My mom just got a biopsy back, and she is, she just got it back, actually, and it was not cancer. So I am so thankful for that.
Tonight, I'll be honest with you. I probably will have some tears myself tonight. I do have some stuff to talk about, and we do have a phone call, and actually I know this person, and I invited them to call in tonight this person is kind of funny at times. Her name is Liz. Liz, welcome.
I'm only funny at times.
Yeah, all the time, actually.
Nothing.
So, are you thankful for anything?
Well, there's tons of things. I just can't think of all of it at one time. I just wanted to call in and say Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hi, Liz. Nice to meet you. Hi.
Hi, Liz. This is Paul. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Paul.
Okay, guys. I got another person on the line, so let me put up Jess. Jess?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm so cocky. When you said that there's somebody else on the line and you were going to pick me up, I was like, oh, yeah.
Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Okay, can I just say what I'm thankful for? Because Lydia already did this. I left one person out, but can I do mine?
Go ahead.
Okay. My family, my friends, texting, Big Brother, water, and Lady Gaga.
Water?
Water?
Yeah. Well, no, you can't live without water, so...
All right, good point.
But that's,
wow.
That's my top 10. Broadway and Glee are my top 10, but those are my top 6. Don't judge me. And, okay, I almost said baby names, too, but I was like, no... That's on my Tom Ted list, too.
Well, I know one thing I'm thankful for is a 7-3 record for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, well, if you're going to go there.
I know, right? Patriots?
Yeah, Ravens.
Oh, no, I don't like that, sorry.
Oh, well, you know, everybody's got their thing.
Yeah, we can be all thankful for. And go ahead, Sherry, rub it on me. You know, your team's doing better than my team in hockey.
Well... Now that you mention it, but it's, you know, hockey has a long way to go, so I'm not going to rub it in too hard till we see how the season plays out.
Anyway, it's one of the ironies is I believe Chicago is, the Bears are 7-3 right now as well, and your Blues are doing good. I don't know. How are the Blackhawks doing? I haven't even checked. I know that the Minnesota Wild are the best team in hockey right now, but, you know.
Not rubbing that in, are you, Paul?
Trying not to, but it's so hard because it's been so long since Minnesota's had such a good team. And I'm sorry that you had to... Well, you guys were doing awfully well when you switched coaches, right? And you had...
No, we weren't.
Oh, I thought
no,
you had...
That's why we switched coaches.
No, I mean since you did.
Yes, since we switched coaches, we've done much, much better.
Right. So.
So, yeah. So, I was a little disappointed that... But I kind of was expecting it that tonight would be... Or last night would be the recap... Or the... Survivor Revisited show. But we got to see a little bit that we haven't seen before. Was there anything that stood out to you, Paul?
You know, the major thing that stood out for me, and I hope you won't be too upset with me, but I didn't finish watching it. Again, I thought I would have more time. But the one thing that really jumped out at me is when Coach and Brandon talked about, you know, basically saying as a person of God, I will, you know, protect you kind of. I mean, they that kind of a bond. I mean, we keep so many shows, so many episodes, I'm thinking, you know, Brandon's got to get out. He's just a loose cannon. He can't, you know, you can't count on him. And we always would see edited, you know, clips of, you know, he's in trouble. And they even, you know, talked about in, you know, last episode where Coach makes a comment that he has no business being in this game, and somebody else, I think Albert also was talking about, you know, getting rid of him. And but seeing that clip of them, those two talking, it doesn't matter, I don't think, if he's a loose cannon to Coach. Coach is going to stand by him because of that pledge, or that might be, not be the right word, that they made at that point. And so now I'm thinking, okay, if Brandon gets out, it's not going to be because Coach decided to. I mean, I just got that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach seems to be standing by him no matter what. And I don't know if that's going to be good for Coach. He seems to be totally loyal to him. And I just don't know how good that's going to play out for him and his gameplay. You know, if the rest of the tribe sees him the way we all do and sees what a loose cannon he is, and that he, you know, could be an easy pickoff.
Now, let's bring up this scenario, and this is the only thing that I'm wondering if he would, if Coach would go to this extreme. If he catches wind that everybody's turning on Brandon and they want to vote him out, and the numbers, you know, Coach can't really, he feels he can't convince him. Do you think Coach would go to the extreme of handing him the hidden immunity idol to keep him safe? I personally don't think he would go that far, do you?
I really don't think he would be that dumb.
Yeah.
I would hope not. I mean, that's like cutting your own throat.
Yeah.
Literally, because the rest of the team then is going to come after you, A, for going against their decision, and making their vote null and void, and B, for having, you know, having given up the idol and then making yourself vulnerable, and, you know, now you're fair game.
Yeah.
So I just don't see that. I don't know. I don't think he would go that far.
So the other thing that I did not remember seeing before was, you know, Brandon, you know, trying to become a spear fisherman. I don't remember seeing that he was doing that, and I maybe he's no longer been successful, or he hasn't done that. But anyway, go ahead. You tell me some of the things that came out. And I did look at my TV listings, and the description under it said that it would be a highlight show or never before seen footage. And I thought at the time, okay, and I wish Michelle from the Bronx was here, because I know she goes to the website to see all the unaired footage. Do you do that at all this season?
Sometimes I do. I didn't for this one.
Are any of the clips this year on the website, the unseen clips, were they the things that were shown tonight or yesterday? In other words,
I haven't been there in the last few weeks, so I didn't see anything there so far that I saw that I remember. Well, There might have been a few things there that I did see, because some of the things I saw tonight were familiar to me.
Okay. The TV broadcast made it sound like never before seen, and you go, I've seen that.
Yeah. So okay. I might have seen some of that on the website. But they started out with this thing between Ozzy and Coach, and it was sort of a tease for later in the show, with Ozzy saying to Coach, I would screw my tribe over, it's me and you, to the end. And that was sort of the opening tease for the show. And then
Did we get any sense of, did that happen day 2, day 15? I mean, did we get any sense when that conversation happened?
Not at all. Not when they opened up. But they went in from there to showing when the tribes first got to their camps, and it showed the differences in how the camps were led by Ozzy and Coach, showing how Ozzy led a very carefree tribe, how they arrived at camp and sort of were very laid back and immediately went swimming and didn't really care about building their shelter. They all were more concerned about going swimming, and Dawn and Cochran were very they did not want to take their clothes off and get to the water without their, you know, clothes on, where the rest of the tribe was like, yeah, let's go, you know, down to their underwear and off in the, and they went. And Dawn and Cochran were both just like, I can't do this, you know. I've never met these people before in my life, and I can't just, you know, shred down in my underwear in front of all these people, and, you know. So that was like their first day there.
I'm a Mormon. I have, what'd you say, 5 kids?
Right. And then on the other tribe, it showed them arriving at camp, and Coach was more of a diplomatic leader, where he was, you know, showing people how to do things, and let's get the shelter built, and, you know, we're going to be strong warriors, and, you know, we're going to have the best shelter, and I'm going to make this, you know, a great camp. And but, you know, he wasn't being like somebody who was just telling people what to do either. He was being
his tribe members kind of wanted to do that, and he just fed into their, you know, desire to get the shelter and to build the stuff, and he kind of said, you know, do it. But he did say, you know, that I'm the leader of this tribe, where we saw a couple episodes ago at Tribal where he said, no, I'm not the leader, you know. So, which, you know, we all kind of snickered because and the people in Tribal also kind of snickered because it was like, yeah, you are.
Yeah, he's definitely a leader. And, you know, then it went on to showing Brandon asking Coach right away to take him to the end. Brandon was talking about how he had watched Coach play twice before, played a very loyal game, and he respected Coach so much for, you know, his loyal play. And so the first chance that Brandon got having Coach away from the tribe, Brandon approached Coach about taking him to the end, and Coach says, well, that goes both ways, you know, and they sort of made their little pact right then.
Yep.
That they would, you know, take each other to the end, and their little agreement was formed right then, very early on in the game. And then it went into Papa Bear giving Cochran pick up advice for women, which was hysterical.
Oh, no. Kidding me. Well, is it true what the dog in chat said, that it seemed to be heavy on Coach and Cochran clips?
It really was very heavy on Coach and Cochran.
How funny that a old day dude is giving Cochran, you know, pickup advice. That's funny.
I know. And he actually, who was it now? He went up to one of the girls. He went up to, it might have been was it Whitney? No, it wasn't Whitney. I can't remember the girl he went up to. And she said, well, try it out on me and let me see if it works. And so he did it. He did it just like, you know, Papa Bear told him to. And she said, well, first of all, if you would have come up and told, you know, said something about me having nice earrings, I would have thought you were gay. And so...
And wait a minute. And Cochran never divulged to her that the advice had come from Papa Bear?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He told her right away that the advice had come from Papa Bear.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, I don't think his advice went over very well. Then we saw Coach having a meltdown over Michaela over-scooping sugar and cream in her coffee one morning. And he about had a meltdown over her putting two scoops of sugar and cream in one cup of coffee. And he was having a real hissy fit about it. So he went back to camp, and Michaela wasn't feeling well. And so he went back and proceeded to taunt her. And he literally, they had like this jar of pork fat. And she was very sick to her stomach. And they were all sitting around the campfire. And he pulled out a big hunk of this raw pork fat out of the jar, put it on the end of a stick, held it over the fire for a while, and then ate this pork fat and started acting like he was gagging it back up and, you know, just really taunting her. And she finally called him an ass and stormed off. But he was just really taunting her. He didn't care that she was the next to go. He was done with her.
It just brought back to me some nauseating memories. If that's the pork fat from that one challenge where they had to, oh God, that was awful.
I know. Oh, that was such a sick challenge. Whoever came up with that, that was bad, 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 bad. Then they went into another lovely story about Cochran telling kindergarten stories about how he went to the bathroom in his pants in kindergarten. And why he felt the need to share that, I do not know. But, ew.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked about sitting down and how it felt and how it went in every crevice. And I was just like, Cochran, you don't really need to go there, you know. And then he talked about the teacher going around and sniffing every butt till she got to his, and then, you know, his was the jackpot, you know. And I was just like, oh, Cochran.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was just, some people can tell stories in the sickest way. So I don't know. He was saying, you know, well, I've gone to the bathroom in worse places than in my pants in kindergarten now. So I don't know what point he was trying to make, but, let's see. Then they went into Edna and Cowboy Rick talking about Brendan's meltdowns at Tribal, and Coach talking to Brandon about his meltdowns at Tribal and praying with him out on the ocean, at the ocean front, and realizing he has a lot of Russell in him, that Brandon has a lot of Russell in him.
Yeah.
And then it went into Cochran talking about the lover's bungalow. And he says, I had the pleasure of sleeping in the lover's bungalow last night with Keith and Whitney for two nights. They take up the whole blanket. I'm freezing my ass off. If I move an inch, they act like I just committed some horrible sin. I know exactly what's going on in between Keith and Whitney in the bungalow. I just don't know if in 9 months from now we're going to discover the product of this relationship.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And just before he says that, we see Keith saying to Whitney, I'm still trying to figure out how we can play it so they don't think we're together. So, you know, they're trying very hard to work together and sleep together and not let people know that they're together. Yet, here's Cochran talking about how much he knows and how much he knows is going on underneath the blanket and how he's hoping that in 9 months there isn't a product of this relationship. So I don't know if Keith's strategy is working out so well. Let's see. Then it goes, Cochran has to hold the body of the rooster while Ozzy chops the head off. And Ozzy laughing his ass off about it. And the rooster poops all over him. And Cochran saying that he hopes he doesn't have the same fate as the chicken, as they show the chicken being cooked in the stew pot. That was one of the commercials that had been played for this show. Was Cochran saying that?
Yeah.
And then we see Coach slamming Ozzy. This was at the merge. We see Coach slamming Ozzy for the way their tribe has been living with no shelter. The one little, what they call the lover's bungalow, which is only big enough for two, maybe two and a half people, the half being Cochran. But there's certainly not a shelter on that in that tribe big enough for all of them. Many of them sleep just lying on the ground. But when Coach saw the way they had been living, he was just slamming Ozzy, saying, you know, you let your tribe live like that just because you're a beach bum and you don't mind sleeping on the sand with, you know, sand crabs and mosquitoes biting you. That doesn't mean that, you know, you let the rest of your tribe live like that, you know. You call yourself a survivor and that's the way you treat your tribe. And he was just slamming Ozzy. And then it shows Ozzy looking over at Coach, and Coach just gives him this big smile and a thumbs up, you know. It was amusing to see Coach, like, just slamming him and then turn around and giving him this big smile and a thumbs up, you know. And then it goes into Coach from there, once he sees how the inner workings of that tribe after the merge and how they've been living and how they've been treating Cochran and the dynamics of everything there, that's when he turns on his schmoozings to Cochran and starts playing his come on over game.
Oh, okay.
To Cochran. And they have the Hercules and Zeus talk, and we got to hear a little bit more of that talk tonight. We really didn't get to hear that whole discussion prior to tonight, where he had a name for every person on the tribe.
Oh,
okay. Right. And I didn't write them all down, but Cochran is Hercules and Coach is Zeus. And Ozzy is Narcissus. And as I said, I didn't write them all down, but he had a name for each and every person.
Hey, I'm having a little problem. Hold on, I got to re-enter the chat room. Sorry, peeps. Okay, I'm sorry, Chair. I got kicked somehow, I think. Does it show me in there or no?
I don't think so. How did you get kicked out of the chat room?
Opening another window. Accident. Yeah, hold on.
Let's see. Calf and Dog says, I want Sophie Final Four, trust me, but I would be dumb of Coach to give her a chance to win. Oh, but it would be dumb of Coach to give her a chance to win. I like Sophie, too. I think she's been playing a good game.
Yes, I do, too. I said, I think a couple weeks ago, that she had started becoming one of my favorites. But looking at her and saying she is a favorite, you do have to consider how other people look at the threats, you know?
Right.
So.
It shows them at the end of the show balancing plates and bowls.
All right, so when you say the end, a preview of the next show?
Correct. And you hear, I believe it was Ozzy, or was it Ozzy or Coach say, a Coach, I believe it. Everybody is fighting to be standing at the bitter end. Coach to Edna, are you going to be my friend, Edna? Unless you stab me in the back, I'm on board. And then Coach again, with my last dying breath, I will fight to keep my young warrior. And then Cochran says, I've upgraded to warrior. Wasn't I just a student before?
Yeah, I've been in agreement with Dog as I've seen some of the posts, but I'm wondering how, because it would, you know, saying, you know, Coach would probably bring some of the less threatening people towards the Final Four. I mean, like an Edna and a Cochran. I'm now thinking Brandon's going to be part of that too. So I would not be surprised to see a Sophie or an Albert targeted, you know, if they don't have the individual immunity next time.
I think the funniest part of the whole show is at the very, very end of the show, Cochran did a mimic of Keith. Telling him, saying everything is always about sports. And everything is always a sports metaphor. And you can't reanalyze like that, Cochran. You can't go onto the court like that. You got to keep your head in the game. You can't question I mean, You gotta keep in game mode. You gotta keep in sport mode. You're gonna fumble. You can't fumble in the game of life. I don't know what you do when you're back in your court at home or on the field, but it doesn't fly in this field, man, or something like that. But he does this mimic of him or this imitation of him that is just hysterical.
Well,
and that was probably the funniest part of the entire show.
I really do like Cochran. I think he is smart. I think he is good at looking at, you know, the strategy and everything in the game and his position and how he can somehow work his way out of it or explain his way out of it. But he's also so funny. He has got such a great sense of humor.
He does.
I laugh every time they have their little diary room. There's got to be a better way to say that when they interview them individually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they call them, but it's like a diary room session. And he's sitting in that throne, that tree stump throne.
Right, that's where he was when he did this. Sitting in that throne stump that he has.
I'm just reading the chat. Dog, I think Coach, didn't Coach end up telling everybody that he had the idol?
I think so.
I'm trying to remember the episode because I knew at one point it was just, oh, it was when Brandon was starting to get the clues.
Yes.
And they started looking. I think it was that episode where he finally told everybody, well, you know, I actually have it.
When the tribe was so down and Coach wanted to keep the you know, the team strong and
right.
Not
and
let
they,
the...
They ended in a circle praying, but I'm pretty sure on that episode he actually spilled it, and I was disappointed because I always like to see it kept secret. You know, it so infrequently happens that somebody gets that hidden immunity idol and they keep it to themselves and don't tell anybody.
I know. Russell couldn't even do that. He always wound up telling somebody.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to playing that clip. Hey, by the way, speaking of reality TV, I did watch the highlight show of The Biggest Loser last night. Did you?
I didn't, but I heard that somebody very special to us was on.
Ah, exactly. You knew where I was going with this, weren't you? Didn't you?
Yep. Yes, I did.
For those that don't already know it, and with our fans, I'm sure most already do know, but they brought last year's, I didn't watch last year's episode, but there was sisters. Olivia won the whole thing, and her sister, Hannah. Her sister Hannah came in runner-up. I don't know if she won she won the 100,000. Anyway, they interviewed Olivia earlier in the show. Then later in the show, they brought out Hannah, and she talked about, you know, her journey and what she's been doing, and then talked about an event that she was part of, she and Olivia were part of, on Staten Island. And I go, oh, wait a minute. Is this the Mutter thing that Michelle was in? And the, what's her name, the hostess, says, let's stop talking about it. We're going to play a clip. And it was a very long clip of that obstacle course Mutter event. And there was a large group of people that called themselves, like, Team Biggest. There was, like, six Biggest Losers and several other people there in black shirts. And there was our beloved Michelle.
Yeah, she texted me and told me she was on last night.
Okay, Cherry, I am going to have to recharge my phone card. It just
I heard you. I heard you go silent there for a minute. I wasn't sure what was happening.
I'm sorry to leave you alone, but I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Bye.
So while we're talking about some events coming up, I want to take a moment to talk about Toys for Tots. I'll be going in just a week from today. I'll be heading out to go to New Hampshire for Toys for Tots. And I'm going to go ahead and play this clip just to let you all know a little bit about what's going on for Toys for Tots up in New Hampshire.
So, Ronnie, what makes you want to help Toys for Tots?
You know, I was really excited whenever Panther first asked me if I was interested. I don't know if she remembers, but immediately I was like, heck yes, sure. Because, you know, every year, ever since I was a little boy, I remember seeing Toys for Tots drives where I'm from. And, you know, West Virginia, where I grew up, is a very needy state. There's lots of needy states, but it's one of them. And I had lots of friends that were able to have good Christmases because of Toys for Tots specifically and the wonderful things that they do. So I really feel very passionately about this, you know, for that very reason, beyond the fact that, you know, Christmas time is a time that's supposed to be filled with family, friends, and warm feelings and good thoughts and great memories. And anything that makes that happen for kids especially, that's wonderful, and I'd do anything to help that organization.
Okay, Cowboy, I wanted you to answer the same thing, pretty much.
Basically, the reason why I'm doing it, I'm getting out of Oklahoma. No, I'm joking. But no, growing up, I was very poor. We lived off the land and everything. And I remember one Christmas that my parents actually had to use Toys for Tots to actually give us Christmas. And so this is a way to be able to give back to a great organization. And kids is my life. I mean, I've got 4 kids, for Pete's sakes. So kids are very important to me. But you know what? If I can please one person for Christmas, I mean, that's better to me than me receiving a gift.
Right. That's so true. I would like to even mention why I'm wanting to be a part of it. Is as being raised by a single mother, and you guys all know my mom, she raised 3 boys by herself because pretty much my dad left. But my point is, many times I don't want to say poor because we always had riches and something else, but Christmas time was that time of year that I remember my aunts would always make sure I had Christmas, And stuff on Christmas time is always the most special moment, and I will always remember that. I'm just excited about going and having a fun time with us all and doing it for a good cause. And Panther, you've put together a great time, and people that are expecting this, you know, big thing and everything, it's going to be big, but it's not about being big. It's all about the kids, and I'm going to give my listeners a chance to, you know, give some stuff, too. You're going to be able to donate.
Hi.
I played the clip from Ron talking about Toys for Tots with Ronnie and Cowboy.
That was 2 years ago. Before that, that Toys for Tots, and I can't remember how I stumbled on that clip. I was looking for something, and I go, this is really a perfect one thing for Toys for Tots. Did you like it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, of course, Ron was hopeful of going to that event that year, but things happened where he was not able to, but I really loved what Ronnie said, and also Cowboy as well. I don't know, so that's basically what I missed while I was charging my phone up again. See, normally when I call in, it tells me how many minutes I have left on my card, and I did not hear it tonight. I just zoned out, so I apologize for that.
That's okay. We'll
interruption.
Let this fly.
We do have, I did put up several other clips from last year's Thanksgiving show that we can play as well, that speaks of Thanksgiving and what people are thankful for, and some cool things to hear from Ron. I kind of feel we're done talking Survivor, and I don't see anybody else having called in. I don't know if we need to solicit. Dina! Dina is here. Cool.
I just saw that. Hi, Dina. Hope you're feeling better, babe.
So I know I sprung this on you, and I wouldn't have done it, believe me, if I had not run out of time staying at my parents' longer than I did, than I thought I was going to. I had every intentions of running it by you, but we do have a caller. Should I play the clip and then pick up our caller?
Sure.
Okay. I did these in order, so we already listened to his the opening segment from last year, and here is the next clip, about 3 minutes 40 seconds.
Okay. Now, here's the deal, guys. You know, if you're in the chat room and you want to call in and tell us what you are thankful for. If you'd like to call in and talk reality shows, it can. I mean, Survivor. I mean, I am looking forward to Survivor this week. Liz, you don't watch Survivor, do you?
No. I did long, long time ago, but...
Long, long time ago.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, Paul, that song just went in my head, too.
Long, long time ago.
When the music died.
My husband and I just did that earlier
today.
Hey,
Mr. American Pie. Something like that, isn't there? Okay, now, Lisa, you guys have to call in and tell us your list.
Yeah, Lisa.
Don't type it up. Wait. I didn't see Big John come into the room. This guy, you know, we picking on each other all the time. I do give him the biggest thank you of the year. And guys, I am so bad at sending out thank you cards. I have so many people I need to send them out to. Before the end of the year, I will get them out. And I have some people I need to say thank you to. So I'm a better voice person. So if I say it out loud once, that's a good thing. So, Cherry, did you have something?
I'm very thankful for Dan myself. And I'm thankful that I was able to go to Vegas. And I'm thankful for my husband and for all the friends that I've met on the internet through Big Brother, and just for life in general. Dan's been a great friend, and I really appreciate his friendship, and he was a wonderful host in Vegas, and I hope I get to do it again. And I was really thankful I got to meet all the wonderful people I did out in Vegas. It was a wonderful trip, and I'm so thankful for that. That was one of the highlights of my year this year. Yeah, that was the highlight of my year, except for my mom not having cancer. That was it. That made my year this year, definitely. So, very thankful for that.
Yeah, and I did also thank you for that, too, and stuff. Okay, I'll go ahead and pick up Lisa, because Lisa is Lisa. Lisa, is that you?
Yep, that's me. Hi, guys.
Hey, Texas.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Let me do something real quick, Lisa, before you do your list, okay?
Okay.
I want to ask you guys a question. And you guys, you don't answer it until after we listen to Lisa's list. But here's the question for you guys. I want you to think of one thing that you guys, that is so funny that, you know, that people, you know, you're thankful for, but it's something that, you know, it's something funny, you know what I mean? Something that, you know, like, here, I'll give you an example. I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for, yogurt, okay? You know, something goofy like that.
Does it have to be an object, or can it be, like...
No, it can be anything, anything silly.
Think about it.
That's the end of that clip. Bringing back memories, I'm sure, huh, Cherry?
Absolutely. What a great Thanksgiving to be able to go back and listen to those clips and listen to Ron, and I'm so thankful that we're able to capture those moments and replay them and listen to those things again. I say that almost every time we listen to clips like that, but I'm just so thankful that we have them.
Yeah, I saw that what Lola had posted in the chat. When I told you that I was looking at that, I said to you, I remember somebody calling in with just a beautiful list of things to be thankful for, and I'm thinking you're probably guessing by now it was Lisa.
Right.
Remember now?
Yes.
But anyway, I didn't screen the call, but I seem to recognize that number.
Yes. You want me to go ahead and pick him up now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chi-Town Joe, you are live on the Rad Reality Show. Happy Thanksgiving to you, darling.
You mean Chilltown?
Yeah, right.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Cherry. How are you? And happy Thanksgiving to
Thank
both
you.
Of you. I really want to say one thing, that I'm very grateful and thankful for all the people that follow the show, still follow the show, and I was having a little hard time because, you know, I lost my sister this year, and my mom and I had a really, really terrible Thanksgiving, you know, and I came home and I put her picture up, and I just wrote, you know, a little blurb about her, and everybody started writing me left and right, you know, and just made me feel good. And they were people from that are in the chat room and other Big Brother fans and that, and I would have never had that before. You know, I didn't have that shoulder to lay my head on, you know. And I'm not trying to be morbid or unthankful. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for what Ron has done and what he's continued to do in perpetuity. I just found out just now our mayor, former Mayor Daley, his wife just passed away tonight.
Aww.
And the whole city is just plowed.
Daley was in there for a long time.
Yeah, well, 20-something years as dad, too, you know. So.
Right.
But she was a sweet woman. But
so which, the father or the son's wife?
The son's wife.
Okay.
Because he retired, and Rahm Emanuel took over.
Right.
So, and she was very sick with cancer for a long time, and that's why he stopped. And her daughter... was supposed to get married, I guess, on New Year's Eve, and they had to get married last week because of her mother. And she wore her mother's dress. She was the only girl, you know, and wore her mom's dress so her mom could see it. But she went comfortably, and it's all over the news now, taking up all the news. So, but I just wanted to say that. It means so much to me, you know. I send out goofy things. I'm sure you get them, Paul, if you ever look. Cherry gets everything of mine. Seymour gets crazy stuff. And I spent a lot of the afternoon today actually going to Twitter reading what Big Brother former house guests were saying that I was following, and what they had to be thankful about, and all that, and it was quite interesting if you follow any of them. And we mentioned earlier in the show, Laura is expecting a baby girl now, and that's lovely. And I'm real thankful for going to this crazy, I think, going to turn out to be a crazy time in New Hampshire. And I was going to ask Paul, since you're not going, can Cherry and I call in on the phone at 10 o'clock and talk to you? You know what's going on and who's there?
We haven't even discussed, Cherry and I, about the status of the show during that time. That's a phone call we still have to make, Cherry.
Correct.
Yeah, that's going to be soon. I mean, it's less than 7 days for Cherry and I to get on a plane.
Okay.
And that's a lot of time for Cherry and I to get her. I started to just start to do the laundry for for this thing. And we're going to have that brunch on Sunday. And I'm going to wear all Bears clothes. A Bears hat, Bears shirt, Bears everything. And
you're Chicago'd out, aren't you, Joe?
No, I'm wearing it in honor of Ronnie.
I was just going to say you would have instantly become Ron's best friend with that.
Well, I wish I had a button of Ron. I would wear it. I know how much, as you played, meant to him to get up there. He never did.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to wear that.
That's why Vegas was extra special.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah, you could hear it, you know, on him. But I want to make sure that there's a little piece of Ron there, you know, and it'll be interesting, you know.
I gave all my buttons that I had away in Vegas. I don't think I'll be able to get any more made by the time New Hampshire rolls around, but we're going to have to get some more buttons of Ron made so that those who want them can have a Ron button to remember him by, and if they go to events, they can take Ron with them, because that's why we had those buttons made. That was a Pam Ekman idea. I don't want to take anything away from Pam. I did not think of that. That was Pam's idea. A wonderful, wonderful idea it was. And I have one button that I have sitting here in my family room that I cherish that she sent me. And she sent me four others besides the one that I have for myself, and I gave them to Ron's family members and a few people that work for the show. And if I had more, I'd certainly give you one, Joe. We're going to have to work on getting
Jen
those Brock made.
Jen Brock is saying that I could take one of his pictures off of his Facebook, but plus I have a ton of Ron pictures that nobody sees. For my own use, you know, for me to look at and think about him sometimes. And I can go to Walmart or Walgreens. I go to Walgreens tomorrow, or worse came to worse, the big meet and greet with the house guests that is going to happen at the Walmart in Portsmouth. I always say the name wrong, Portsmouth, that they're doing on this Saturday with Walmart. I had planned to go to that. I went out and had them make I bought a beautiful black hat, and I had them make, and I had a big fight, but they embroidered a Big Brother logo on my hat for this thing. They wouldn't put the house on it, and then when I got it, it was all screwed up. And I called them, and they got really rude with me, and I brought it back, and I said, hey, I paid $30 for one hat, one baseball cap that says Chi-Town Joe in the back, too, you know. I want my hat this way. And I showed them a picture of Big John's, all his hats.
You mean crackers.
Yeah, crackers, you know. So I got it the next day because they didn't want to deal with me anymore. So I'll have that for sure. And I just finished washing all of for John and Harlan. So when we go into that country bar, I guess, as Mike has been calling it, they have Harley shirts. But they're all double extra large, so I'm hoping I shrunk them a little bit.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty big for those guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's about all I got for them. If they want to feel, I don't listen to country music. I'm sorry to say, but I'm really looking forward to this thing, and and I think it'll be kind of crazy when we get there originally, and now I'm seeing more and more people are coming, and picked up a couple of people over since the last air date we had here, and that are going, that were listening, that were guests that didn't want to be known, and they found me on Facebook, so they're going, and you got a lot of people going from Canada,
right?
Which
we've
is
got
great.
Somebody else on the phone line. I'm going to bring up.
Oh, great,
Miss Dina, how are you? Welcome to the Rad Reality Show, sweetie. How are you?
Gobble gobble gobble.
How are you feeling, hon?
I'm going to tell you what I feel. I feel like I let myself down. I've had picked up the cooties from somewhere in North Carolina this last week, and all of them.
Let me know who gave you those cooties. I'll kick their ass.
I'll certainly send them your way. I'll promise you that.
Don't do that. I got to sit next to her on a plane.
Yeah, we don't want the federal marshals after either one of you. Okay.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. But let me tell you what I did, talking about Thanksgiving memories and what it means to you and the charity event that's getting ready to happen. But this last week I did get super sick, and I had invited and been anticipating Thanksgiving dinner here at my house for well over 3 weeks, invited 9 people to show up, and I just knew yesterday morning I was not going to be able to do this at all. So that meant 11 people having a frantic at the last moment to figure out what to do. I want you to know my friends come by and picked up every bit of the food that I had that was stuck in my freezers and in my refrigerator, and took all this food, and they did it all at somebody else's house, and then brought over to me and to my significant other, Russell, brought over a huge, platters after platters. So this has been, if I had to be sick, this had to be the best way to do it, because they all got to enjoy the meal. I got the leftover plate. All the cooking, and I enjoyed every bit of it other than, not being with my friends, but that's what special people do for you in special times, and I couldn't have been more blessed today. And then tonight I got stuck in watching Peanuts, and I was like, oh, snap, there's the Rad Reality Show and Ron tonight and his voice. And so I hate that I miss most of the show, but this show means a lot to me, and I can only, I see the people in the chat room, and I can only imagine the people in the pod and the cast, but this is a very special group. And it means a lot to me, and I thank each and every one of you for your friendship. I really, really do.
Well, thank you, Dina. You are so special. And Ron had such a special heart and such a special personality that everyone loved him, and he put together the Rad Reality family. And I'm so grateful that most of us are still together. Most of us have stayed with each other, and I'm so grateful for that. I was very worried that once Ron was gone that people would break away and not come to the show, and, you know, it wouldn't stick together. And I'm so, so grateful for each and every one of you that still come, and that the family is holding together, and that we're all still a family. And that means the world to me, and I know that Ron is up there smiling and is so proud that we're all still together. And you are such a special part of that family, Dina. You are such a dear, dear heart. And I'm so glad that your friends took care of you in your time of need when you weren't feeling well and you needed people to help lift you up and take care of you. I'm so glad they were there for you. That's such a great story. And I'm glad you called in and shared it with us, because that's what friends are for. You know, that's how friends treat each other.
I think so, too. It's unbelievable, you know, listening to him. I never called in, you know, and I would listen to him, and especially in the later days, because I hadn't gotten my computer, but I had known about him, and to have that time, and then watching you write, Cherry, all the time about what was going on and behind the scenes with him, and trying to catch up with everything, and then all of a sudden, this big outbreak of, like you do all the time, Cherry, in the chat room, is you do hugs. And I was just swept into this world of people that just had all such big hearts. And people I never thought I'd ever have a word with, you know, because I idolize you, reading you. You know, Cherry, and now here we're going on an airplane in less than a week, you know. So it's, and we're going to have a good time. And to have Dina and have Seymour especially, and Lola, I mean, all these great people. I'm not just saying because you're online or in the chat room. I can go on and on and on. And to watch, I'm not sucking up to the host. But has anybody watched what Cherry has been doing all day and who she's been writing to and thanking them on behalf of the show to and their association listening and just thanking them on a personal level? I mean, I could go through like 8 pages of you, Cherry. You've been writing so much. And I think that between Paul and Cherry, it's so hard. It's what they're doing. But I think it's our obligation at this point to hold on for them, you know.
I appreciate that.
I mean, it really, important, Paul.
You talk about the kind of family and chatters and supporters that we have and their hearts. That was all attracted. These quality people were attracted because of Ron.
Right.
And I don't frequent other chats or other shows to compare, but in my opinion, we have the best.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I got a personal thing. We've been talking of Anne Marie was going to show up, and she wrote me late last night that she's really, really trying hard to get a ride, because she just wants to meet all of us up there, you know, because she listens and she wrote, I'd have to look it up, but she wrote one of the most, she said she never met Ron, but what a beautiful person he must have been inside of him, inside of himself, because it came out over the air. And that's what Anne Marie wrote today about him. And thankful that she had the opportunity to call him, and she, you know, most of the time he allowed her on, you know, every week, you know, and run off, you know. And that's so sweet.
Yes, well said. Hey, Jerry?
Yes.
I'm looking at our countdown clock. Here's what I have to present with you. Ron had a really wonderful closing to last year's, and it's a good closing with a song as well. But
it's already done.
Huh?
I already extended.
Oh, okay. That's what I was leading to. I didn't know if we can extend or not. We do have a few more clips in addition to that closing. To play, and the next one is of Lisa reading her list of what she was thankful for, and she hasn't been in the chat of late, but she does still show up. But I'm talking about Lisa Cruz, and I'm going to play that 4-minute clip now.
Okay.
I'll hang up then.
Oh, no.
Joe, thank you so very much. I just
want to make sure
thank
that,
you, much.
You know, I'm not plugging anybody or pushing anybody's buttons. I just wanted to, you know, sometimes I don't type very well, and most people know that. But I want to say through my own voice that I really love everyone in the chat. I really love what Cherry and Paul do, and it's such a heavy toll, you know, to hear Cherry after a show, you know, and she's drained, but she's so fulfilled and happy. And I'm just looking forward. I really want to do like a telephone show with Cherry from there through Paul, so people can hear, you know, we'll drag Jess and everybody up there, you know, well, they'll be there by then, most likely. You know, so it would be so fun just to do it once, because this is very important.
We will work on that and figure something out.
And I just want to say before we go any further that I am very grateful that, Paul, you have been there for me or for the show at every show. I can't thank you enough for having the same passion for it that I do and wanting this show to continue and see Ron's legacy continue. That means a lot.
I appreciate that, and I certainly appreciate you. I think we have some pretty good dynamic teamwork as far as putting it together. I'm certainly spend most of my time or a lot of my time doing the going over all the clips, and it's partially my personality, but it does take a long time to do the editing and find the clips, and there are times when there is noise on the archives where somebody might be on a microphone via Skype and they're banging it around and it's irritating to hear it. I actually go in and edit out, you know, a tenth of a second worth of a sound. I mean, I really go to that extent. And it does take me a long time, but I'm determined to have, you know, a quality product, if you will, when I do this. So if I'm not always there in other ways, Cherry, believe me, I spend a lot of time working on those things. So I think it's working out.
I'm going to hang up. I'm going to listen to you all. And I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there.
And right back at you. And have a wonderful, fulfilling, and, you know, time out in Portsmouth. And
I hope, I'm looking forward to it. I'm seeing Panther coming up with something on my Facebook account. So I'm still listening, so don't run away. And, Dina, don't forget to confirm me. Thanks so much, both of you.
Thank you so much for calling in, Joe. We love you. And I'll say a special prayer for you and your mom tonight. And know that you're in my thoughts and prayers, babe.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Jerry.
And you take care. Thank you
Bye-bye.
For all your kind words. Okay. So, Paul, you have a clip that you want to go ahead and play now.
All righty, here we go. About 4 minutes.
Okay.
And Lisa, go with your list of thankfulness.
Okay. Okay, guys. Being thankful is something that I really am constantly doing because I have so many reasons, but my short list right now is. I'm thankful that I have a husband who loves me, even though I'm completely nuts. I'm thankful for kids who constantly amaze me by being really, really, really good human beings. Damn it, Ron, told you I don't like to cry.
Aww.
I'm thankful for a best friend that lives 15 minutes away from me, and even though I've never asked, I know that she'd do absolutely anything for me. I'm thankful for my pals that live all over the world, and they come to see me on my computer every day and every night. I'm thankful for my old bitch cream, because without that, I'd be full of wrinkles. I'm thankful for Brussels sprouts, because that's my husband's favorite vegetable ever. I'm thankful for my pet egg. That thing has saved me so much money. My pet egg.
I know what that is.
It's wonderful. It's
I
wonderful.
Want to.
And the most important and the thing that I'm thankful most of is that I'm lucky enough to know there is a God. And there's my list.
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful
Amen.
List, Lisa. Beautiful list.
I'm thankful that Lisa called in, because one of the things I'm going to do when I get off is I'm going to write mine down, too, because those were wonderful, Lisa.
Thanks.
I thought the editorial about you saying, you don't like to cry, and then I started to tear.
And I'm thankful that Lisa was kind enough to share her information about her old bitch cream with me.
Good stuff, baby.
Okay, let's do this now. And I want to know, wait, do you really Brussels sprouts? I love Brussels sprouts. Don't get me wrong, I love Brussels sprouts. But are you really thankful for Brussels sprouts?
Yes.
I find it interesting. No, I thought I was the only one who even liked Brussels sprouts in the world.
Oh, God.
You know why I started to like Brussels sprouts? It's because my grandma. My grandma would feed them to me. And then when we got older, I would have to feed them to her. And I always crave Brussels sprouts.
My funny thing that I would be thankful for is puppy dogs. What is yours, Paul?
Do you guys not hear me?
No. We hear you now.
There you are, Ron.
Talk back, Ron.
Well, I never left.
Oh.
I think somebody's humming. I hear a hum. I don't know if it was Lisa's phone or if it was Jess.
It could be my very loud computer that dies all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's like murdering itself.
Okay, so, Sherry, what was you thankful for?
Puppy dogs.
Puppy dogs? Okay. Jess, have you got yours?
I have two of them. I have my Skyper, which are, if you've never Skyped with me, you don't know my tradition, and my humor. But yeah, if you guys ever Skype with us, you will know that I have a burp at least once, or it's not a Skype session. And I got Joe in on it too.
Hey, I'm really thankful for my iPad because, like, I play on it all the time, all these stupid games, which I'm actually
you know
doing
I'm
while I'm talking
for?
To you.
I'm thankful for Madden Football on Facebook right now. I don't know why. It's really been fun.
Okay. When I heard this clip and played, you know, listened to it and all of that, I thought, what is this? I'm almost afraid to ask, because you obviously know what is a ped egg. Okay, and I don't want to know. That laugh told me everything.
No, it's really not. I'm surprised you don't know, because for like 2 years they ran commercials about them nonstop on TV. I mean, you couldn't watch TV for 30 minutes without seeing a ped egg commercial.
I guess that's a result of me watching most stuff off my DVR and fast-forwarding through the commercials.
It's a little thing that that scrapes the dead skin off of your feet and sort of gives you a pedicure, a home pedicure, instead of having to go to the salon and get a pedicure at a salon.
So the highlights then for that list for you were the pet egg and the old bitch scream, huh?
Well, Lisa turned me on to the old bitch scream prior to that show. And we had had a long discussion about her old bitch scream right before that show went on air. And she had told me, you know, all about her old bitch cream and where to get it and what type it was and so forth. And so I had become informed of the old bitch cream, if you will. And
is that actually the name of it or just...
Well, no, it's not called old bitch cream.
Oh, Paul, sometimes I wonder.
Sometimes I wonder, too, Paul.
Oh, yeah, liquid. I like that, too. What I was going to correct Cowboy when he called in on the last show. He again called him Chilltown.
I know. I know.
I'm not ever going to correct him because it is so endearing to hear him say that.
It is. And I told Joe the other night, I said, you will forever be Chilltown to Cowboy. I told him he needs to get a T-shirt that says, hi, my name is Chi-Town Joe, except the Cowboy, and then I'm Chilltown.
Oh, the other thing, and I hope I'm not losing them as I grab them, but there are so many Ronisms.
Oh, I know. We need to have like a Ronism show where everybody talks about their favorite Ronisms, and we need to give like do a contest. Maybe sometime before Big Brother starts again in the summer, we'll do a contest where whoever can go and find. Go back and listen to the past podcast, and whoever can go back and find the best Ronism out of our old podcast wins a prize.
For example, what we're talking about, and I'm sure most people know, but how Ron would say, "Oh, I have an ideal."
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. He would often put two words together, but you know, and make up it would be a unique word, but we knew exactly what he was talking about, so it didn't really matter. On that show, I did grab one that I don't have it uploaded, but I saved it to add to. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I just played it on my computer. on that Thanksgiving show, I did not save these clips, but you will probably recall this, Jerry, that Ron was starting to talk about swapping for Christmas trees. He was talking about traditions and how, you know, Thanksgiving leads to Christmas, and talking about a few traditions and putting up trees, and he was saying maybe doing an ornament swap.
Right, that was my idea.
And
do an ornament swap.
Liz was up, and she's a Baltimore Ravens fan, and she said, well, you know, I could give you a Baltimore Ravens ornament. And then you, Cherry, said something about you're not getting any of my St. Louis Blues ornaments. And he said, well, if you gave them to me, I'd probably not put them up anyway, you know, just to jab you. At any rate, it was all talking about doing some kind of a gift exchange.
Right.
And unless I missed it, I always remember we'd done this a few times. It's called a white elephant thing. A gift exchange. Have you ever heard of that?
Right.
You have heard of it.
Right.
Okay. Well, he on the show said, well, maybe we can do an elephant ear exchange. You know, I thought, oh, my God, that is so you, Ron. Oh, my God.
Oh, I just love him to death. I miss him so much. And
let's go on to the next clip. And I'm not remembering exactly what's in this clip, but all the ones that I uploaded were really worth listening to and hearing Ron talk about traditions and family and those kind of things. This one's a little over 4 minutes long.
Okay.
Anybody else want to call in and give their little thankful list? We still got about 20 minutes that I was going to do the show. And I do wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Go ahead, Cherry, say what you were going to say. Before.
I agree with Cupcake. I'm thankful for the Rad Reality Show.
You know what? Speaking of thankful for the Rad Reality Show, I say thank you for you guys, and I know you guys say thankful for me, but you guys do keep me, I do say thank you for you guys, and it's cool, you know, and I was going to wait till the end of the show to do this, but I'll do the first part. You know, I've met so many people at Vegas, and I've met so many people on the internet, and so many people, you know, reality star wise, I cannot list all the reality star people that I am thankful that I've met. You know, even not just physically met, but over the airwaves, and so many have touched my life in some way. But you know, like I always say, Michelle and April and Jesse and Keisha, actually, the first show that I did, you know, they're the ones that kicked it off. Panther and Kathy from, you know, not Kathy from Big Brother 12, Kathy from Mark So, that when you guys, you know, have seen her before coming. You know, they're the ones that I'm really thankful for. And I just really wanted to say, you know, this show has been a help for me, and last night I was really not in the mood to do it, and it was the reason I got through the day yesterday. I mean, last night was just awesome. You know, I went out and doing an hour show, it went an hour and a half, and I'm thankful so much for you guys. We got a caller. Let me pick it up. 715. What are you thankful for?
Hey. I'm thankful for you and Paul and everyone who calls in. And
is this Tom?
I'm saying yes.
Hi, Tom.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I'm thankful that I was able to call in today because I really miss you guys. I'm thankful for a lot, and I'm thankful for Jess, because if it wasn't for Jess, I wouldn't have met Paul. If it wasn't for Paul, I wouldn't have met Ron. And if it wasn't for Ron, I wouldn't have met a lot of people. Ron, you've been so good to me. Paul, you've been so good to me. Jess, Christina, Mandy, Cherry is awesome. I've never talked to Cherry, though, but Cherry's awesome.
Hi,
Al, Mr. No Pants. Hey. I'm so thankful for you guys, because you guys are such good human beings. And I thank you guys, and I know not everybody in the world believes the same stuff I believe in, but I thank God that there's a platform where I can thank people like you.
It's what the show is about tonight. You know, when I hear thank you, that I've reached somebody, that I've made somebody happy, that's what the show's all about. You know, I set the show up for it to be you guys' show, and the one thing I do have to say is I've always wanted to keep it, you know, fan friendly, and yep. I've heard reality stars call in and say, you know, it's great to be able to talk to everyone, and they like to stay because they can, it's more of a fan friendly show, and the fans like it because, you know, you guys can call in, and usually I pick up everyone as fast as I can, and
that was such a special clip. I had forgotten what it was because I just had numbered them, but that said so much. That said so much in that one clip, and when Tom called in,
it did. I have since talked to him a number of times, and he is such a sweetheart, and I'm so grateful. I wish he could be here with us tonight to hear that.
But it really spoke about what Ron wanted the show to be like and what he was looking for in the show. It spoke of how the show would lift him up, how, you know, when he didn't want to do one, and he did a show, how he came away from it feeling so much better and fulfilled. And
yeah. And I witnessed it to the we all did, to the very end. I mean, Ron could be feeling so bad, and he would sound so awful and like he was, you know, barely able to breathe and sounds so bad, and we would go on air and his voice would change and he would just perk up, and this show just meant so much to him. And
but he loved that people in the chat were always concerned about him and basically always saying, you know, take a break, you don't have to do it, take a break. He actually at times,
he wouldn't think of it.
At times, he would actually get a little bit irritated that people were telling him, you know, to take a break, because it just fulfilled him when he did it, and he needed it.
He did. He did. You know, people didn't understand that when he was doing shows from the hospital, why, you know, he wasn't, you know, just laying in bed, resting in the hospital, and, you know, why he was doing the shows in the hospital. And he would ask me, you know, Cherry, explain to them, you know, Cherry, you know, explain to them, you know. And it was, you know, sometimes kind of put on my shoulders to try to explain that he really needed this for him more. A lot of times he did it for the chatters and that, but toward the end he was doing it for him.
Yeah.
And for his own necessity.
Yep.
And he needed the love that he got back from the people that he had been giving to for so long.
I agree.
And
100%.
That's basically it. He, you know, he had been giving for a long time, but at the end he was doing those shows because he needed the love that he was getting back from the people.
Well,
and
so well put.
He got so much love. So much love from everybody out there, and I can't thank them enough for all the support that they gave to Ron through the Caring Bridge site and this show and their personal support that they gave him. He knew with no uncertain terms how much he was loved, and you can't ask for more than that when you leave this world.
I agree. I have,
you're very, very loved.
I have one more clip before the closing clip to play, and it's about 3.5 minutes, so I don't want to run out of time here, because the final closing clip is, I think, a very special one, and it's relatively long. Now I can't find it. It's just under 6 minutes long, Cherry, so...
Okay.
Here's the final clip that I put together from last year's Thanksgiving show.
I do have to say something else, and Paul's going to laugh at this, just because Paul's going to laugh at this because I am thankful for one thing, and I know my silly thing that I'm going to be thankful for, even though it's not really silly, but I am really thankful that I still have this black cat. And just to guys let you guys know, her name is Salem, and you guys have heard about her. Paul calls her my damn cat. And actually, I wanted to wish her a happy birthday. I know her birth sometime around this time of the year. So happy birthday, Salem. And because we got her like 11 years ago on Thanksgiving because she almost tore down the tree. I'll never forget. And today she was up here with me, and I was telling her how much since Mom's been put in the nursing home, that I can't believe she's still alive, and it's been a year since that happened, and I'm like, you know, I'm so thankful that I didn't kill you yet, but she's still alive, and I'm actually proud of myself that I haven't killed her yet, yes.
I thought when you went to Vegas and your niece was taking care of her that she wouldn't be alive when you got back, because I know Jordan doesn't like her.
No, I think that from her brother, that he does somewhat would care. So, I'm so close to crying at times that I just, you know, I'm just kind of like holding off. And so if I stutter or if I hesitate, it's because I'm just kind of like, you know, so much going through my head. But hey, am I the only one, and we're talking Thanksgiving, am I the only one that officially calls Christmas after Macy's parade and Santa Claus? Have I been the only one that... that has considered, you know, that's when Christmas starts, because that's, I mean, isn't that the real Santa Claus too? If I remember watching the movie Miracle on 34th Street, I mean, is that not true, Paul?
Absolutely, Ron. Whatever you say.
But does anybody else watch the Macy's Parade? Is like the Macy's Parade like the biggest
kind of like the traditional kickoff to the Christmas season, is what you're saying? Or
yeah, I've always considered. Yeah, I'm joking about Miracle on 34th Street, but I've always loved the Santa Claus, and when I see Santa Claus, that's when my Christmas spirit starts. And usually on like Friday, we put the Christmas tree up, and over the weekend, and my mom used to tease me. She said, you know, when we had the artificial tree, we couldn't put ornaments on until the next day because, you know, a real tree, you got to let the branches settle or something like that. And she would always say that about the fake tree, too. So she would always try to trick me. And I'm like, you know, Mom, you're lying. So
that was a whole bunch of neat things there. Him talking about that damn cat. And for people that may not know it, when Ron and I would be on the phone a lot of times, and or even in Skype, just one-on-one, and all of a sudden he would scream and yell at, because Salem had jumped up and scratched him. He didn't like some people's voices that Salem didn't like some people's voices, he felt. And when Ron was on the phone, it was like, I need attention, you know? And every time I was on the phone and that cat would jump up and scratch him or bite him or something, he would scream, angry, just, damn cat, I never knew the cat's name. All I kept hearing was, damn cat. So I said, this damn cat. And then to hear him, you know, reminiscing about, you know, his tradition and Christmas trees with his mom, there was so many of those kind of clips that I'm so happy that I did go through and edit those to play tonight, because there's so many good things to hear.
You know, as it often happens, Salem got sick and passed before Ron did, and it seems like oftentimes pets will know when something is going on and will pass. It's almost like they want to be there first to be waiting for us, and that's what happened.
Yep.
And
well, guys, it's we got about 2.5 minutes to kind of wrap things up before we play that closing clip, so I'm going to let you do it. You do it so well, Cherry.
I don't guess anybody's going to appease me and call in and tell us what they're thankful for this year. So I was trying to get others to call in tell us what they were thankful for this year. But no one is going to play along. So I am so thankful for my husband and my mom and my family and our Rad Reality family. It's something I love so dearly, and I'm so thankful for it. That's my list of things I'm thankful for. My puppy dogs, too. and the old bitch cream that Lisa told me about, and my pet egg are still on my list.
my funny thing, and I didn't clip this out, but I said I was thankful for the Yule log. Remember me saying that, Jerry?
Oh, yes, your Yule log.
But I have to confess, I never did get off the air that night and make up my list like Lisa did, but that was inspirational, at least for a moment, for me. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful that I have parents, and they are still with me, and at 89 years old, they're still viable and you know, with it enough to really enjoy everybody. And it was a very nice visit I had today. And obviously, I am so thankful for what Ron started and that he included me in it. And I have met so many people like Tom so put together so well. So with that, I will end my list of things I'm thankful for. Thank you, Cherry.
Thank you, Paul. And very well said. One of the things I'm most thankful for is that I met Ron Radkowitz and his family, and they are just some of the best people in the world, and I miss Ron so much.
Let's play his closing for that show, and you want me to start it, because I really hit it,
I think. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone that did call in tonight. Lisa, Jess, Tom, Liz, Paul, and Cherry, thank you for helping me out. It's good to be able to have friends and have people call in. And to close out the show tonight, I do want to play a song. And it's what Thanksgiving probably means for me. And anybody that knows me knows that, you know, what my faith in the Lord is and everything. So I wanted to play this to close off the show. And if you don't believe, if you do believe, this is how I feel. I just thank him.
Thank you.
And Jesus, thank you.
And thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Paul. Everyone, thank you so much for being here tonight. It's been a wonderful Thanksgiving. I can't tell you what it means that all of you are with us tonight. God bless you all. Be kind to one another. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday and weekend. I hope to see you back at our next show. Have a great night. Good night.